Jill Meredith Wolf is my name, and today I am 36 years old. Today is August 18th, 2016, and we are in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm with my friend, colleague, and fellow advocate, Kathy.
Hi, my name is Kathy Kane Willis. I am 47 years old. Today is August 18th, 2016. We are at the StoryCorps in the Chicago Cultural Center, and I'm here with Jill, who is my friend, colleague, and partner in advocacy.
Kathy, thanks so much for taking time out and being here with me. I've been fortunate enough to know you for a couple of years now, and I'm hoping, though, that you can take me back to a time where I didn't know you. Want to hear from you is really understanding that you're an advocate at heart. That's one thing I know about you. But I'm hoping you can sort of tell me about your early days of advocacy and how you started and what you remember, what sticks out.
So my early days of advocacy was at a time when the HIV, the AIDS crisis was full blown. And I was pretty young. I'm, 47 now. So in 1990, 1991, I was pretty young. I was 21 years old, maybe 22. And ACT UP was in its sort of kind of last days. But when I started going to ACT UP meetings and when I got involved in this, it came from the perspective of being a former injection drug user. And I knew so many people. I went to college in New York and then in San Francisco. So many people who had AIDS, not even HIV, but AIDS. And I knew so many people who were injecting drugs. I really wanted to make a space for people who injected drugs to be able to do that safely without getting HIV and to start a needle exchange in Chicago. I mean, I loved doing advocacy. There was a time when Cook County Hospital, that's what it was called at that time, was going to shut down the AIDS wing, for women and children, right? Like, because gay men, maybe not so much at this time period. It was a very different time. I put together a banner. I painted it with paint. Like, we went to the Cook County board hearing and got thrown out. And I remember unfurling the banner. And I really, really, really so much wanted to make a difference in helping that cause and helping the people that I represented. But I was young, and it was hard to sort of push on that, even though I did send away for the materials on how to start a syringe exchange. Mm-hmm.
So when we think about your young self, either before or after you were using, what did you envision your future self to look like?
Yeah, so I didn't really think of a future self. I kind of assumed when I went in for treatment, the treatment that did not work for me, they said, we should do an HIV test at that time. And I said, well, I might actually, there's a possibility that I could have HIV because I have shared needles. And I lived in San Francisco and, whatever. I had risk factors. And they were like, we don't want to test you because if we do and you come up positive, your insurance will drop you. Mm. So I knew my boyfriend had been tested and that was mainly who I shared with, but I didn't know really. So I just kind of assumed. And during that advocacy work, I always wondered, am I HIV positive? I don't know. But I was so terrified to get tested. I just kind of assumed that I would, die pretty young. I just assumed that something, that I was going to die of AIDS. That's really what I thought. I thought, I don't know, or something. I don't know why. I didn't think about that very much at all.
So there's not a cure for HIV yet. And there is a cure, though, for hepatitis C.
Right.
And hepatitis C is a place that also has a shared stigma. And was really part and parcel to what was going on in the ACT UP days, but nobody knew about it at that point. Tell me about sort of your experience with being a substance, being engaged with substance users, either peers or professionals.
I know when I first publicly told my story to the Tribune, they took that part out. about the hepatitis C. And that was in 2009. So that was 7 years ago. And I have to say that having hepatitis C, and I know HIV activists might disagree with me, at that time might have been more stigmatized in a certain kind of way because it was clearly from injection drug use. Whereas with the gay rights movement, there's been a lot more understanding of that. And then like heterosexual transmission, sexual transmission. You know, sex is something that people do. Injecting drugs is like looked upon in a very, very, very negative way. So I would say that I carried that stigma with me quite a bit. When I found out, and I didn't find out that I had hepatitis C until I was 32 years old. I mean, the thing that freaked me out the most beyond my impending mortality, which was quite scary, was the fact that I felt like a contagion. I felt like I was hepatitis C, like I could infect you, even though I knew that I couldn't. But like, it's so easy, like, you know, to cut yourself. And you work in an office, and you know, my fear around cutting myself or cooking or getting blood in something, not about me hurting myself, but about, again, hurting someone else with my blood. I think that's a very deep thing, you know, that like what runs through you and keeps you alive is something that is contaminated and could lead to someone else's early demise. That's really what we need to do.
Yeah, and think about the impact of their words. Like, you know, I think about the impact. I can only imagine, and unfortunately we don't have a ton of time to divulge too far into this, but telling a mother with a two-year-old that you have you have 10 years to live, like imagine, you know, that's a ripple effect on your family, your parenting, your sense of self, future self. And I'm so glad that you were cured and that you lived past 40. It was great. I appreciate it. Last words you want to give
us? I want to say for patients, you know what? When doctors talk to you, remember, doctors are not gods. They are people too. And that's their profession. Double check. Take someone with you. Have them take notes.
What can we talk about with shame?
I mean, if someone makes you feel ashamed, then you need to be in a different place. You cannot be treated. You should not be. If a doctor makes you feel ashamed about this or anything, you should leave. You should leave. And I do want patients, people with hepatitis C, to understand, please do not put your doctor in that role. And I guess this goes for any patients, people with substance use disorders. You know what? Ultimately, yes, there's expertise and there's experts, but you are the expert of yourself.